Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. This is episode 157. It is September 29th, 2023. It's Friday. It is rainy. It is dramatically rainy. It's very gray, which makes the green of the trees pop, which is really lovely and vaguely English feeling. Yeah, checking in with a lot of like perfectionism and pathological demand avoidance. Basically, I still have so much judgment that if I'm not doing this perfectly, that the pressure is too high for me to do it. But yeah, I wanted to talk about just everything that has changed. There's a lot of tumult in my life right now, and it's really interesting because the writer's strike has ended. It ended earlier this week, and it's so fascinating. Like, I'm torn like Natalie Imbruglia. Like, there's something about the strike being this like one thing where it's just like, no, you're not allowed to do anything. People can't email you. People can't ask you questions. Your lawyers can't do paperwork for you. Your agents can't negotiate for you. You certainly can't be out here like writing and like secretly sending it to your producers and working. You know, it was just like a hard and fast no. And there was something actually like really beautiful about it. Not only from the side of the fact that we were all so united against things that just were not serving us and working conditions that were absolutely untenable and was basically like, you know, eliminating any future in this particular work that we all loved. But I mean, that was, you know, beautiful that we could all come together and do that, but that it was also sort of beautiful in that like it really eliminated any sort of status, you know, like it was just like we were just all a bunch of bodies you know, doing this one thing. And but it was also like, for me, like a person with ADHD and autism and problems with distraction and impulsivity, like I suddenly like had no emails, and I suddenly had every single deadline just sort of like screeched to a halt. And so that sensation that I'd always had in my brain of trillions of tabs open, and like I think like my idea of myself, like because I'm so compartmentalized and because I can't really task switch that well, like, and I can't multitask, but I often feel like I have three separate workstations open. Like one is for like book work, one is for like adaptation, like scripts, things like that. The emailing that comes with that, getting everyone on the team on the same page that comes with that. And then like, I guess the other workstation is for my entire other life, like personal life, family, anything like that. And so it always felt like a little bit of like a phantom life itch where like, you know, personal life me would be walking around, and then like, you know, like script me would be walking around. And so it was really like this whole part of my brain could go dark, and it felt really good. It felt like immersion into a warm bath. It was like a weighted blanket. Like I definitely had this moment, and this was not my experience, but during pandemic lockdown, there were people for whom they have so much social anxiety or other anxiety, and knowing that we weren't allowed to go outside and gather in spaces was just like such a soothing like bomb on their nervous system. And that was not me. I was just like, what do you mean I have to, like, what do you mean there are rules? Like, I want to do this. I mean, I did do all the things, but I was very petulant about it. But I finally understood what it was to have that sort of sense of peace. And that was really, really wild, like how complete that was. And then, you know, now that the strike is over, it's like I just don't know what to spend time on next. Like that sense of like orderly, this one next, this one next, this one next, this one not at all. Like that feeling is gone. Like, and then it's like, it's so funny because it's always such a binary, right? Like on one hand, I'm like, oh no. Like, you know, I keep likening it to like a shitty advent calendar. It's like, you never know what you're gonna get when you like pop open the little perforated like window, because it's like we've been on strike for 5 months, 4 months, I don't know, bad at math, but like for months and months, 140 whatever days. And like I could have been fired like 3 months ago and just don't know it yet because they can't even fire you. So I'm just kind of like in this like scarcity, lack, like total black and white thinking of like, oh no, I'm fired from everything, or like every mandate has changed, or, you know, even the part that's like so, so me and so I think immigrant maybe, like, oh no, like we've argued for all of these like amazing advances towards our minimum basic agreement and we're worth more and we're more expensive and they have to like pay us for our time in these like really concrete ways. And I really feel like I'm going to be punished for it. Like, I'm like, oh no, they're gonna want to spend that kind of money on everybody else's show and just not mine. And, you know, so I have all those stories going. And then on the flip side, it's like, oh no, what if I get book edits back at the same time as this like feature rewrite? And like, you know, what if my like pilot gets like green, you know, just... finding all sorts of wonderful and creative ways to worry about two sort of like polar opposites when, you know, I know from life and experience that everything that usually happens is either like a little bit great or a little bit shit, insofar as even the greatest stuff is a little bit shit and even the really, really, really shitty parts have like a little bit great in them anyway. And so that's where I'm at. And also I'm like flung into this like whole, you know, now that like we were going back to our lives and I'm like noticing that people are like rushing off to like start new jobs or like, you know, rushing off to like bidding wars for their like overall deals, just all of this stuff. And I know that there will be like announcements in the same way that there were before. And so, you know, being plunged back into like status checking and like compare and despair and all of this stuff is just sort of back. And if it sounds like I'm complaining about the most like first world problems, it probably is because I am. But the other thing that happened during the strike is, you know, I was assessed for autism. And so now I'm like re-emerging with this like feeling that, you know, I'm like, oh no, like what if I'm incapable of doing the things that I didn't know I couldn't do before, you know? Like it's kind of like when Wile E. Coyote goes over the side of the cliff. He's like fine, like chasing and keeping going until he realizes that gravity is a thing and then starts falling. So, you know, I have a lot of fear around, like, what if I can't mask effectively anymore in these circumstances with these people? Or what if, you know, like, I've had so much, and anyone who wants to do the type of work that I'm doing will relate to this, and anyone who's even successfully done it before will also relate. It's like, minimally, I'm learning from friends who have had their work developed for like movies or TV shows. It like takes so long. It like, I think it takes like a decade minimally. I mean, like obviously this is like anecdata, but like basically it takes a lot longer than you think, especially given that like it might get optioned in like year two or like year one or like before it comes out, and then just all this time sort of elapses. And so I say this to say that like I'm just like really Well, what I'm doing is I'm sitting because I just lost my train of thought, but like, I don't know, just like things take so long, and I don't know, that like really, really scares me. And oh my God, the temptation to go back and like start this over from scratch is so high, but I'm not gonna do that. Yeah, so like, I don't know, like I have a lot of fear around what if I can't work with people the same way. And I've, so far I've been pretty honest about like keeping people apprised. Certainly those around me who work with me very closely, but like, you know, I do have a little bit of like the first day of a new school feeling where I'm wondering if other people will notice my neurodivergencies or think it's like, you know, like a detraction around like how successful I could conceivably be. So yeah, like that's just something I'm sitting with. And, but it is all to say that like, I'm really like also like excited, like cautiously excited, I guess. And I also know that I don't have a lot of experience around like joyful abandon, like, you know, just pure like giddy excitement. And so like I know that my first response to this will be like trepidation and dread. And so I'm trying to build a tolerance for like when dread is up, like seeing if it's not disguised happiness or excitement. Yeah, the other piece is that, you know, now that I'm like assessed for autism, and it's like I'm noticing all the ways in which I'm like hella autistic, where I don't know, it's like, yeah, like I think I've said this before, it's like I'm not like genre blind anymore. Like I know the movie I am in, like I know the genre I am in. And so like, I kind of know the genre of my thinking, and it's not like, you know, reductive or just like, I don't feel like pigeonholed by my own thinking or my own characterization of my thinking. It's more just that I'm like, oh my God, like this is real. You don't have to self-gaslight anymore. And not only is it real and you don't have to self-gaslight, it's actually like really, really hardcore. Like, I can't believe, you know, I love fashion so much, and I have always collected towards a lifelong archive. Like, I have this theory that like I will be my best dressed in my like late 40s, just because I've been like gathering so many things from the time I was like 18 and like working in retail. And I can't wear a lot of fabric. Like that thing of like tags and textures and like certain kinds of seams and like all of that is so damn real for me. Like there is like a gradient of nubbiness towards like wool crepe where I just can't fuck with it. And I don't care how structural something is, if it's like finished and like, you know, like waxed or something, like I just can't have it next to my skin. And so it's like a little bit heartbreaking, and I will probably have to like part ways with things that do not, you know, spark somatic like skin on skin contact joy. But I'm sitting here being like, no, this like archival 90s Rive Gauche top that feels bad on your skin or itchy along your like the small of your back, like it is not more important than the fact that like A, you don't like wearing it, and B, like you literally like don't wear it already. And it doesn't like, its cultural import doesn't like outweigh your discomfort. And so it's like little things like that that are just so much like kinder and like, I don't know, just realer feeling, which feels really good. And then there is also like so many pockets of like genuine grief. Like when I think about all the things that I've made myself do historically, both in like, you know, like with scary people trying to impress them, like in moving to New York, like in moving to Texas from Hong Kong, like, you know, all of these like sort of upheavals, knowing how sensitive I am to change, like, and not really like allocating or allowing myself to have giant, giant feelings and trauma around these like uprootings is like, I'll think of like how uncomfortable and disassociated I was for many, many years in my like late teens and then again in my early 20s. And I'm like, yeah, like you really were autistic then as well. You know, like I think of myself at different ages and I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Or like, oh my God, that behavior in school, or like, oh my God, that reluctance to do this thing, like makes so much sense. And like, obviously, like my parents didn't really know what to do with such a, like, let's call it particular child. And it was really hard. So that's just where I'm at. Like, I wonder if I will ever find the thread I was trying to think about when I was talking about like adaptations taking 10 years earlier. And maybe I won't. But this is all to say that, like, you know, oh, the thing that's sort of like also wild, hi ADHD, I'm just gonna add as many postscripts as it requires, but like, there is something so, so, so special about the like neurological and emotional fuckery that being a writer is, insofar as, like, first of all, like, I really do believe, like, the world seems to believe that we're completely replaceable. Like, this week I found out that my book, like, Emergency Contact, my first novel, is among the books being scraped by like AI in order to train AI. And that's really harrowing. Like, I posted about this earlier, but it's like, I have voice. That's the thing that I have. Like, a lot of people find it incredibly divisive. Like, some people hate the way I construct sentences, and I fully, fully get that because it is so specific, but like, that is the thing that I have. And I am not so delusional as to believe that like very, very, very capable machine learning where it like changes and adjusts like a trillion billion times like a second or whatever couldn't learn that or couldn't mimic that like in a way that was convincing. Like, I think that that is totally mimicable and teachable. So that fucking scares me. And then, like, also, that book is banned. And so I'm just kind of like, I don't, like, to just be eaten away from at all these sides is just such a wild feeling. But the part that is so, like, just tragic and so specific to creative work is this thing of how I check that database because The Atlantic is doing a thorough, thorough, deep dive investigative package towards what this means and what happens, and the Authors Guild is suing, and there's all these resources, and it's really lovely. But like, there is something so specific about checking on the database to see if your work was scraped and being scared that it wasn't. You know what I mean? I just had this moment where I was just like, yo, this isn't like the Obama year-end reading list. Like, this is like not a prestigious thing, but it feels like prestige because that's the thing about being a writer and a creative. Like, you have FOMO even about the fucked up shit. And like, I had a moment where I was just like, oh my God, like, and I love that I know it's not just me. And so, yeah, like I would have had FOMO if I was like left out of that. And similarly with book banning, I'd be like, what's wrong with me? Like, am I not profane enough? Am I not like subversive enough? And like also the part where I was just like, oh, but like, okay, Emergency Contact, you scrape, but no Permanent Record or Yoke. Like, am I that, like, I don't know, like, can you get all of me just from the one book? You don't want to like steal my whole bibliography? I don't know. Like, which is to say that I already know that I'm like unwell, but like I definitely had a profound moment where I was like, I am unwell, but I also know confidently that other people are as well, probably in this exact same flavor. Because there's something about writing books where it's just like the egomaniacal egocentrism, like self-involvement, is like so huge, but then also you're like feral and like basically such an indoor kid, just making shit up. But anyway, that is 20 minutes. Hyper-focus win. So I just ask you to be gentle, to be kind. And then with that also, just like find genuine like humor in the behavior, like, because that lets me know that I'm not like so enmeshed and attached to it. Like, if I'm not butthurt about my own like basic, like, you know, mentally unwell moments, then like, I don't know, like, if I can like look at it with genuine fondness and be like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense, and it's so like lol sob, then I know that it's not a secret. I know it's not shameful. And so, yeah, so please be gentle with yourself. Please be kind to yourself. Please find genuine humor in your behaviors, because you can offer grace and understanding and compassion. And if you can't, like, I get that also, because this is not prescriptive. I'm not doing a perfect job. But yeah, have a beautiful day.